that the procedure is not easy. You have to think about it and make sure it's something you would like to do. I don't think it was too bad. It was a challenge in the very beginning, but now looking back, I would really recommend it to anybody. It is an amazing journey, she said. As for Oscar, Hernandez said he is recovering very well. He actually was recovering better than I was. The doctor said that's very typical, because obviously my body is losing something and his body is gaining something. I had loss of appetite, I had lack of energy, and everything that I was lacking, my brother gained. He would eat my leftovers and he would wake up early. He's doing really good, Abby Hernandez said. She said donating her kidney is a blessing and feels that she has fulfilled a purpose. I just feel great. I'm grateful to be a part of this big thing because not everybody can be a part of it. I didn't know I could be a match. My whole family did get tested. It was something they wanted to be a part of, but they weren't 100% a match. I'm just grateful that I was 100% match for him, Abby said. Abby is the youngest of three siblings, and she's very close to Oscar. Donating her kidney makes them even closer. If all goes well, Oscar should live a normal life. They do lab work almost every other day. His labs are coming out normal. So far, so good. Everything's coming out great. It's not expected to be rejected, Hernandez said. Abby plans to graduate from UTPB with a degree in kinesiology. She said she would like to return to campus in the spring to finish her senior year. I don't know how my body's going to feel, but mentally, I want to go back, and I'm ready to go back, Hernandez said. The coaches and teammates have been very supportive of Hernandez, who plays second base. When they have team meetings, they always call her on Zoom, and her teammates call her as well. She was told she could return to normal activities, but would have to take it very slowly and make sure she's not coming into physical contact with others. But other than that, they said I should be fine to return to play. Her softball coach, Tiala Tagaloa, was impressed with Hernandez's altruism. Hernandez is 5 feet tall, but Tagaloa said in an email that she plays much bigger. I don't know that there are any words to fully encompass what Abby has done for her brother and family. I'm humbled by her selflessness. I'm amazed by her strength. And I'm honored to coach her. She's a kid that has always been counted down and out because of her size, which is exactly why she is who she is. I've always said my favorite thing, Abby, is her ability to play and be bigger than her stature. That's exactly what she's done here. She's stepped up once again and played big. I could not be more proud of her, and we fully support her and cannot wait for her to be back, Tagaloa said in an email. On the net, kidney.org. Counselor of the Year. Austin Montessori Counselor earns award. Clutching a thank you pillow signed by former students, Austin Montessori Counselor Melanie Thayer sits on the couch in her office where kids can come and visit with her when they feel overwhelmed. Thayer recently earned the Counselor of the Year Award for Ector County ISD. Ben Powell, Odessa American. By Ruth Campbell, R-C-A-M-P-B-E-L-L at OAOA.com. Melanie Thayer first decided to become a school counselor when she saw one in action at Richardson ISD after she had started teaching there. Our school counselor there got to do things with kids that no one else on the campus could do. She would come in and she would do these team building activities. She would bring out the fun of school. Another aspect of being at school that I just loved, Thayer said. Thayer is in her 13th year in education. She taught for 6 years and is starting her 7th year as the counselor at Austin Montessori Elementary School. Thayer recently earned the Counselor of the Year Award for Ector County ISD. Thayer has been with the district for 9 years and is in her 7th as a counselor. She previously taught 4th grade at Dowling Elementary School for 2 years. She earned a bachelor's degree in elementary education from the University of Mississippi and a master's in school counseling from University of Texas Permian Basin. She and her husband Bob moved here 18 years ago so he could become pastor of Odessa Bible Church. They have 2 children. Thayer grew up in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Her father was from Mississippi, and she would visit family there. She said the award was a complete surprise. Thayer and her assistant principal were contesting all year and had just finished conducting a TELPAS, T-E-L-P-A-S, test for English language learners. Thayer said she was asked to come back to campus and was told about the recognition. "I was humbled," she said. "I was very surprised and humbled. I did not expect it." She started a 5th grade VIPs, Volunteers and Partners, program at Austin. The students volunteer, and Thayer teaches them how to get ice from the nurse and how to deliver mail, for example. "I started a Just Say No club. I invite speakers to come monthly from, like, the SWAT team, which is awesome. They bring their big SWAT mobile, and the kids go through it, but we connect it to not doing drugs, which is also fun. Just teaching them friendship and team building through that club," Thayer said. She also started a field trip for 5th graders to Texas Tech University. She takes 20 to 25 students, and they tour the campus, visit a dorm room, and eat on campus. "It's just an eye-opening thing for our kids that there's a world out there beyond Odessa," Thayer said. "Then we take them to Main Event and we come home. Main Event has bowling, mini golf, a variety of games, and food. Those activities are on hold for now because of the pandemic." She sees 100 to 150 students throughout the year. Common threads she sees in students she talks to are broken homes, friendship issues, and family issues. "Mom and Dad not being together is the main one, though," Thayer said. She said she's noticed that some students are anxious because of COVID-19, and some are also traumatized by the August 31st, 2019 mass shooting, even if it didn't directly affect them. "My training tells me that trauma can happen secondhand, that you can just watch something happen from afar or on the news, and a child will internalize it," Thayer said. "With the pandemic, students haven't been able to be with their friends." From March to May of last school year, Thayer was among ECISD personnel calling youngsters and their families to see how they were doing and if they needed anything. Our social worker for the district, Scott Randolph, had so many resources, but I couldn't get to the families except to call them. It was very difficult to reach out, she said. At Austin, she goes into the classrooms weekly, and she teaches guidance lessons on subjects like bravery, respect, and friendship. "I originally started off as a teacher, so I'm still getting to see that classroom group of kids and teach them character education weekly, which is unique to our campus. It cuts down on office referrals because you're teaching those social skills, such as holding your anger in and channeling it." Thayer said she always wanted to go into education. "When I was in middle school, I had a rough go of it with friendships, the drama. And I noticed that the teachers, and it wasn't even here, it was in Tulsa, and the teachers didn't even seem like they wanted to be there. They were just as unhappy as we were. I realized that as a kid, Thayer said. At that moment in middle school, I thought, I'm going to go back and be a teacher, and I'm going to teach in middle school. I'm not in middle school, but I am a teacher, she added. Executive Director of Guidance and Counseling Nancy Vanley said, Thayer is wonderful. She's just all there for the kids. She does great guidance lessons. She has a very calm demeanor, so she's good for everybody. She's good for the campus culture as well. She really goes above and beyond in what she provides for the kids. She's really good, Vanley said. Austin Montessori website, tinyurl.com/y2bgqa6y. ECISD website, tinyurl.com/yyem8dkq. Master Gardeners. Mums provide colorful fall displays. By Debbie Rowland, Master Gardener. Chrysanthemums, or mums, are a favorite plant for West Texas gardens. They are usually inexpensive and give color into the cooler months when everything else is slowing down. If planted in beds, they work well for mass plantings. Add ornamental grasses for color and texture contrast. Mums are considered perennials, but whether or not they come back next year depends on when you plant. 6 weeks before the first freeze is the ideal time, which should be about mid to late September. Plant in soil that is well drained. Planting in full sun, 6 to 8 hours of sunlight, will produce better blooms than planting in partial shade. Fertilize with 5-10-10 to encourage growth and blooms. Once plants have bloomed and the blooms begin to fade, deadhead each plant. Deadheading is removing the spent blooms with scissors or clippers. This step will be well worth the trouble and will produce additional blooms. Water lightly 3 times a week. Mums do not like heavy frosts and freezes, so mulching is required to get the plants through the winter months. If you mulch, mums will usually leaf back out in the spring. They can live 4 to 5 years if given proper care. Mums can also be grown in pots, but usually will not survive the harsh winter temperatures without the protection of the ground soil and mulch. If grown in pots, they should be considered an annual. Bringing them indoors or into a greenhouse may allow you to get additional growing seasons. Plant mums in pots with hardy fall vegetables, such as kale or cabbage, for a beautiful combination. If you are using potted mums for decoration and color on your porch, combine the orange, bronze, cream, or yellow plants with pumpkins or gourds. For more information, call the AgriLife office at 498-4071 in Odessa, or at 686-4700 in Midland, or visit aggie-horticulture.tamu.edu or westtexasgardening.org. Gardening, Texas Master Gardeners. We are an educational service organization of volunteers trained by Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service. Visit westtexasgardening.org.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, September 19, 2020. Texas chili culture can be traced to humorist H. Allen Smith. Tumbleweed Smith. I met humorist H. Allen Smith in 1969 at his home in Alpine. He was a big deal celebrity, Hollywood screenwriter, nationally syndicated newspaper columnist, author of articles and magazines, including Esquire, and a frequent guest on television talk shows. He was profiled by Edward R. Murrow. His book stayed on the bestseller list 100 days at a time. Once, when he looked up a word in the dictionary, he discovered the example of how the word was used was something he had written. He moved to Alpine from Mount Kisco, New York, in 1967. I went to interview him about chili. H. Allen is responsible for our Texas chili culture that began after he wrote a magazine article stating he made the best chili in the world. Austin chili maker Wick Fowler challenged H. Allen's claim, and in fall 1967, they staged the first chili cook-off Interlingua. It ended in a tie. H. Allen judged cook-offs all over the country, where cooks prepared sausage, tamales, menudo, and barbecue. Some of it was not fit to serve to a starving jackal, he said. He turned down the chance to sample goat gut tacos in Laredo. About Texans' love of beef, he said, some Texans hate to even say the word pig. He has judged chili entries, such as Mouth of Hell chili, Cedar Rat chili, Crawfish chili, Jackrabbit chili, Coyote Short Ribs chili, Cabrito chili, Armadillo chili, Javelina Knuckles chili, Buffalo Hump chili, Roadrunner chili, Raccoon chili, and Gator Tail chili. Some cooks spice up the chili with mezcal or other drinks made from desert plants. It'll grow hair on an anvil. A man could get more flavor from a set of stewed piano keys. Some chili cooks know less about a good bowl of chili than a pregnant sow knows about Neiman Marcus. Sometimes when I even get a whiff of some types of chili, I make a noise like when you pour hot butter into a panther's ear. H. Allen and I became close friends. I interviewed him many times after we enjoyed a bowl of red at his table. The first time I met him, I was working at a radio station. The second time we visited, I had just been fired. He was most encouraging and told me, "Now you can do something." We corresponded over the years, and I treasure his letters. When he died in 1976, his widow, Nell, told me I could have anything in his office. I took two photographs and the typewriter he had used to produce 43 novels. The photographs are on the wall of my studio, and I donated the typewriter to Sol Ross State University in Alpine, which has the H. Allen Smith Archives. The first Thanksgiving after H. Allen died, Nell came to our house near Fort Davis for dinner. We kept up with her after she moved to Florida and visited her there. H. Allen wrote about people named Smith. If your last name is Smith, you need to have some kind of catchy first name. He liked calling me Tumbleweed. I have several of his books and read them often. Newest Eagle Scout. White David, a member of Boy Scout Troop 19, became an Eagle Scout on Sunday. His project was organizing the construction of a fire ring at Midland West Side Lines Community Center. The ring, which can be used for flag retirement ceremonies, took 141 hours to complete with the help of other troop members and David's family and friends, according to an email from the assistant scoutmaster. David, the son of Ben and Vanessa David, is a senior at Lee High School. Troop 19 is sponsored by West Side Lions Club.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Saturday, September 19th. 2020. Pease Principal wins Administrator of the Year by Ruth Campbell. In only her second year as a principal and her second year at Pease Elementary School, Cammy Smith has earned Administrator of the Year honors for Ector County ISD. I was a bit shocked, but I'm honored to be in the same league as some of these amazing principals in Ector County, Smith said. Pease has about 560 pre-kindergarten through second grade students. Students go on to Noel Elementary for third through fifth grade. Approximately 250 students are in school at Pease and 200 are learning remotely. On the day she was interviewed, second graders had returned to campus. It's exciting to have the students back. I like to go into the classroom, Smith said. She added that people get into education in part to see students learn. There's something about the atmosphere and the culture of the school where students are here. Some of them are still struggling just for the fact that they've been out for so long and then the transition back. We've had pre-K students who were only here half day last year and then they left in March. Now they're coming to kindergarten a full day, so it's a big transition for them. For the most part, they're doing really well. We have some amazing parents who are working with the teachers. I just can't talk enough about the amazing teachers, the staff that we have. They're here for the kids. They're invested in the kids, and they do an amazing job both in person and on virtual. Smith noted that she didn't win Administrator of the Year on her own. I have an amazing leadership team. My AP, assistant principal, is just amazing. A lot of teacher leaders, they just take over and do what's best for the kids. Once we have that focus, it just seems to all come together. I think that the Administrator of the Year is just a reflection of the whole campus, she added. Parental involvement also is a key and can be hard to achieve. We have an open door policy. I want them to come in and talk with me. We communicate with them through our Seesaw. That's our communication program. Then lots of communication through our website, through our Facebook page, through our Twitter, all of those things, Smith said. We want parents involved. We want them to be part of it because it takes everybody to grow these students to where they need to be with the foundational skills. Micah Arrott is the assistant principal at Pease. She and Smith started together at the campus. Arrott said Smith's award was well deserved. Working with someone like Smith, Arrott said, inspires everyone on campus to do better. She added that she also believes in Smith's vision for pre-kindergarten through second grade students and notes that those years are important as they are the foundation for future learning. She added that Smith never asks anyone to do something she wouldn't do herself, whether it's moving furniture, demonstrating a lesson, or working with parents. She would never ask you to do something that she's not willing to do herself. And to work for a leader like that, I think it inspires all of us to want to do better. So she totally deserved it, Arrott said. Smith said she admires the resilience of the students, staff, and parents, and understands that COVID-19 has put a strain on everyone. It's really scary, but they've come together and just said they're going to be here for the best interest of the kids. So I admire them for doing that, Smith said. Bowie head custodian takes Custodial Employee of the Year honors by Ruth Campbell. Christina Copeland has one of those jobs that often goes unnoticed, but not this year. Copeland, head custodian at Bowie Middle School, won Custodial Employee of the Year honors from Ector County ISD. Being recognized for her work was something that stood out to her as well. I was so shocked. I did not expect it because I've never had an award of any type or gotten recognition for something so big, Copeland said. She wanted to thank her day crew of Lily Linares and Lupe Hernandez and her night crew of Cindy Ashley, Maria Garcia, Cecilia Valenzuela, and Todd Swoops. She also expressed thanks to her supervisors over the years. I owe a lot of credit to all of them, Copeland said of her crew. She added that she couldn't do what she does without them. They do a lot of work, Copeland said. Copeland started at Blanton Elementary School in 2010 and has been at Bowie since 2013. She and her husband, Brian, who works for Morrow Energy, have two sons. She was working at a gas station when she started considering the possibility of working for the district. I've always been a cashier, and a customer told me about how ECISD employees and custodians have weekends off. They get holidays, the Christmas holidays, and Thanksgiving. As a cashier, you don't always get that, and you get to be with your kids. I just decided it would be better for me and my schedule, and I'd get to be with my family during the holidays. Since the pandemic hit, she said her job has slowed down in some areas and picked up in another. For COVID, we have to sanitize everything, like anything that the kids are touching, restrooms, door handles, light switches, their desks, anything. We have to spray it down with our sanitizer. We have to make sure we're wearing our masks, our face shields, and it's more cleaning, she said. Last year, the students were able to have lunch in the cafeteria. This year, breakfast and lunch are served and eaten in the classrooms, so her crew has to pick up the lunch refuse from the classrooms, which changes up the routine. A new chemical was added called Vindicator that is put in the teachers' spray bottles in the classroom. There also is sanitizer. Copeland also has an electromagnetic sprayer. The campus is divided into sections that each custodian is responsible for. Copeland has the front area of the school, including the lobby, teacher's lounge, main office, principal's office, stairwell, and library. She also tends to teacher requests that come in via radio. It's huge. It's a lot to take care of, Copeland said. During the summer, a lot of people think that we are off too, like the teachers, and they ask me, are you working? We are up here cleaning. We are up here cleaning the furniture and the floors and the walls and the restrooms, shampooing carpets, disinfecting, making sure that everything gets cleaned up for the next school year, and it takes all summer to get that done. During the shutdown, Copeland said she and her crew kept cleaning. Kyle Brown, Director of Custodial Operations and Energy Management, said he has been in his job for 2 years. He added that Copeland has turned her campus around and made it look better this year. There are 240 employees in his department. She's always been a good worker. This year she's grown a lot and become a leader. We're real happy with her, Brown said.
Thank you for joining us for this week's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Lifestyle sections. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, Far West Texas News, followed by the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American at 8.
This is a Recording Library of West Texas Community Update.
Call 211 for non-emergency help hotline and get connected to existing help services in Odessa. Also, OPD is asking Odessans to file reports online rather than requesting an officer. To file a report via phone, phone 335-4961. Again, that's 335-4961.
Saturday and Sunday mornings, enjoy a variety of religious publications and features. Saturdays at 7 a.m., it's Guidepost Magazine, followed at 8 a.m. with the week's Sunday school lessons. Those are repeated Sundays beginning at 4 a.m. Then Sunday mornings at 6, it's Catholic Today. And at 7, Christianity Today. On Recording Library of West Texas Radio, read by listening.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland, Odessa area. It's 64 and clear. Tonight, clear with a low in the mid-70s. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the low 90s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the mid-70s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
Coronavirus updates, weekdays at 1.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 7 a.m.
Because our regularly scheduled program was not available at broadcast time, we bring you the following special presentation. Welcome to this week's edition of Far West Texas. Readings from the Big Bend Sentinel, the Monahans News, and the Fort Stockton Pioneer, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Good day. This is Terminal Amy reading the Fort Stockton Pioneer for Thursday, September 17, 2020. undocumented 18-year-old killed in accident by Nathan Hewer, Pioneer editor. On Wednesday, September 9, around 6:30 p.m., Freddy Soto Hernandez